All right, welcome back, team. How are those journeys going? Did you get that promotion? Did you launch that business? Did you make that sale? What has happened for you to join the community of the few, getting those goals that are just always a little bit out of reach, into reach? Hopefully one of the guests, we've attacked it from so many angles. We've come at it from a purpose perspective. We've gone into the nitty gritty. We've gone purely into sales, into marketing, into the spiritual side, well-being, you name it. We have a podcast that is going to nail your journey to live the life you always wanted to live. So don't forget to like this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. And most importantly, leave a review, because guess what? Just like our previous podcast, we have an incredible guest. And today's guest, I think, is really important at a deeply personal level. And I think for many of us, who we are, who we see in the mirror, what it is about us in a world that's driven by beauty, anything that happens in life that causes that to become a confronting moment, when our essence of self, our image, our beauty, our essence is attacked, it deeply affects us to the core. So we're going to unpack that a little bit today and see how that can be converted for a force for good. So with no further ado, and I've got to think up something better to say when I introduce guests, I have to debrief and put that down. Our guest today is...
Welcome to the Few Podcast.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few.
So you want to become one of the few.
You can't skip steps. You have to put one foot in front of the other. Things take time.
I have a dream. I have a dream.
Hear inspiring stories from the few and learn what it takes to turn your dream into reality.
Don't be afraid to dream big. But remember, dreams without goals are just dreams.
This is The Few with Boo.
Angelina Rosario from Miami, another local just like me. Angelina, how are you? Thank you so much for coming on The Few today.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. And thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Let's get right into this. You had an experience that would petrify most people. Their veins would run ice cold if they were, as you did, find themselves one day with a cancerous lump on their face that was the size of a softball. I mean, that must have been for you a hugely confronting moment.
Oh my goodness, yes. So it happened back in 2016, to be exact. I mean, my face was already getting deformed. I didn't know what it was. And of course, you know, I live in South Florida. I am in the entertainment world. So you can only imagine. I was like, what is going on here? And I went to this hospital and they literally said I had 30 days to get the tumor removed or my entire face will be deformed for the remainder of my life. I won't be able to speak. And it was hard to take in. I remember that day like it was yesterday, because it keeps me going now. That's my why.
Obviously, you're just living your day. Everything's normal. You must start to feel some sort of strange sensation on your face. What were the thoughts that were running through your mind? Like, not the thoughts. What were some of the feelings you were having? Was it, because I'm really interested to explore, you know, the aesthetic. I mean, so much about our life is driven by the aesthetic. And we understand that the resilience that you've shown, that you've utilized it as a way to carry your story. But in that moment, at a very deeply personal level, what were the feelings that were running through your mind and your soul as you got before that diagnosis?
Well, I knew something was wrong. And so the interesting part of my journey is that the tumor, when it finally decided that it had no more room and I needed to get it out immediately. So it was gradually growing. What I would tell anyone, don't ignore those signs. If you feel something is not right, just go and check it out and know that then you can take it the way I've had in my journey and decide how you want to act on it. It could be mindset. It could be treatment. It could be a combination of both. But for me, I started feeling it. I thought something was abnormal. When I finally went to the hospital, unfortunately for me, it was a little too late. You know, I had to go through a 4-year journey once it got diagnosed. But I also, right a year before, I mean, sometimes life takes you through a journey that you'll never understand until you move forward. And I had just went through a really bad breakup. I started doing the mind work. So I knew I was somewhat familiar with the mind work. So when I got diagnosed, I remember sitting there. I was literally frozen for a second. I was trying to retain the information the doctors were telling me because, one, you know, it doesn't take five doctors to come back with your MRI results and their faces. I was like, okay, something is wrong. So I just remember once it took 30 seconds for it to register. And I just got up and I ran down this long hallway in the hospital where I found a bathroom. I shut the door and just fell on my knees and started crying. But I had to get it together. And the little bit of mind work I did at the time, I remember getting back up and it was like this mirror. And I had to confront the ugly truth. And I remember looking in the mirror and I just, with tears, I remember saying, Angelina, you got this. You have this, you have to do this. And I came back out and, you know, obviously the doctors had as much empathy as they could possibly have and said, you know, this is going to be a long journey, but we're going to do our best to make sure we take good care of you.
And during that time, I mean, were you self-conscious? Did that sense of self kick in, or are you primarily just like, hey, I've got to survive this? And again, it's that, you know, often in our life journeys, we tend to worry a lot about what other people think rather than really focus on the things we can control and our sense of self. Was that part of your journey, or because you were running through your breakup, because you were doing the mindfulness, you were at a point where you're able to park those kind of ego thoughts?
No, no. It was definitely a combination of both. I mean, once everything went through, I mean, my journey did they had to remove five teeth out of my mouth, gums, and nerves. And so I had to wear a mask before the mask became a thing. And people were constantly looking at me. And we don't appreciate our teeth, our gums that actually hold our structure or our face together. So my face was sort of deformed because it just collapsed because there was nothing holding it. So the mask allowed at least for it to disguise a bit. But people were always wondering what was wrong with me or didn't want to stand next to me because they thought I had some type of illness, and which gave me compassion for people that I see that what we have identified not, you know, normal. And so through that journey, I remember I would fight with myself. I remember feeling like, oh my goodness, like, what does this mean in my future? No one's going to find me pretty. And then from there went to, I speak for a living. I, you know, I'm a director of sales. I speak in women empowerment conferences, and I didn't have any teeth, which, by the way, they also had to remove a bone and nerve from the right side of my hip for the restructuring. So when they removed the bone and nerve, they had to transfer over to my mouth, which left me without walking for about 4 or 5 months. I had to find the strength to walk again. So I think it was a combination of both, but I will tell you, it was in ICU as I'm sitting there for 6 days. And, you know, that's when everything changes. When you're just like, what does it all even matter? You are going, because unfortunately, I did hear some, I don't remember, like cold blue, cold red. I did hear some doctors and nurses running back and forth when I was in ICU and not being able to move or do much. I remember saying to myself, Angelina, why are you here? What's your why? What are you doing all this for? Who cares? Because as I'm also opening my eyes in ICU, there's only one person allowed. But at the time, no one was there. It was just me confronting my new version of me and whatever that meant at the time, which it could be. They were hoping and crossing their fingers that this nerve would take. And that's why I was in ICU, because it was, I had 50-50. And so that's when I made a conscious decision. You know, I don't know. I don't know where my beauty is going to end up. I don't even know my teeth. I don't know anything, but I do know I'm going to show up regardless of whatever the outcome is. That's the day that I made a decision. And it was in ICU.
Hi, it's Boo here. If you're enjoying these episodes of The Few, please show your support by leaving a review. It costs you nothing, and the more reviews we have, the better guests we can reach out and bring onto the show to help you close the gap between what you want and where you are today even faster, and help you on your journey to become one of the few too. Well, look, you're like most, beauty's really what's inside, right? It's the aura. And on the podcast here, I mean, you're obviously a very beautiful woman, both inside and out. So clearly you navigated that in a way that perhaps some people are unable to do and end up in that fixed reality of something going wrong and allowing themselves to become a victim to that. Were there thoughts like that for you that you had to conquer, that this is the end and this is my new normal and there's really nothing I can do?
Yes. And I still battle. I think I have the tools now. And I think what happens is that people who get into the victim mode, they stay there too long I believe you have about 6 seconds to be like, hold on, time out. I see where this is going. And for me, I said, I have to make a conscious decision. I'm a data freak as well. As much as I am about spirituality, I'm also about research. I like to back things up, by my own mind. And I did a ton of research when I was down. I couldn't do much. And so when I started discovering these tools that I learned, which I call the 5 Success Habits, I started really implementing them, because I'm like, how come all these successful people, and they all had different struggles. It wasn't all sickness, but a struggle is a struggle, right? A challenge, to overcome a challenge, it takes a certain type of mindset. And I don't come from that background. I come from a lower income, single mom. So you can only imagine of years of feeling like suppressing my emotions and feeling this is the only way out without realizing that you can actually change the way you think. So I took those tools that I learned along the way, because I had to go through different sources and books. And I was like, what if I combine this? And I just started implementing. So for example, for me, visualization, when the 5 teeth was removed, and I have big teeth. So the 5 teeth were a lot, if you can see. And so I remember, I'm like, I'm going to try this visualization thing out. And I remember having a poster, and I had images of teeth and just a smile and health. And doctors at the time were also telling me that they were about to cut the right side of my face and the right side of my leg. You'd be surprised, different parts of your body can actually be used for other parts of your body when they're doing reconstruction. And so I remember every morning I will wake up for 5 minutes, because then I heard from Les Brown, the first 20 minutes determines the outcome of your day, which then I understood that came from Jim Rohn. And then I just started learning that came from Napoleon Hill. So I'm like, wait, these are just teachings that being repeated. And I'm going to try this. And for 11 months, I did visualization. This is a really cool story. I'm trying to make it short. I've had 4 major surgeries. And one of the surgeries, I'm in the pre-op room and the doctor marks my face. And I remember, I've done the visualization. I've done everything. You're not supposed to mark my face. So I told the doctor, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, we have to cut the rice out of your face. I was like, no. I did the visualization. We had no idea what the heck I was talking about. That's okay. So I was like, there's no other way around. And I'm like, well, do you mind if I play some music? So I did play some spiritual music, and they could remove it once I got into the surgery room. In the 9th hour, there was a doctor that I never met, some random doctor. I've always knew my team of doctors, that when they were about to cut the right side of my face, because they were really trying, I heard in the room, and this random doctor, when the doctor was going to cut my face, said, give it one more try. And that's when the nerve took. I call that the power of visualization and prayers and everything else I implemented. But I remember vividly seeing myself having a very small incision on my right side of the hip instead of taking it from my face. And guess what? It's exactly what happened, which of course I was in awe. It should have been like, yeah, that's right. But no, I was like, this thing really works. So I was excited.
I'm a huge believer in manifestation, and visualization works on so many levels. It works on when I was a fighter pilot, and through training, you always visualize, you learn, close your eyes, practiced. And then it's like free time. It's free skills that require no physical energy. It's an incredible story. I had the same thing happen to me. I had an obstructed bowel, and they were going to section my bowel, open me up. And when they open up your abdomen and go in, for life, you've got problems, right? And for 24 hours, I managed to get to the point where I didn't convince them. They very begrudgingly operate on me because I wouldn't sign the consent form. And it kind of all worked out at the end. And I ended up on a much deeper journey around gut health and the connection between the gut, the spirit, and the mind. And now I've never had a problem again. So it's a really powerful story. There's something you said, though, and I want to close out on this and then link it to the 5 Habits of Success. You said something like this: there's 7 seconds and then I can consciously change the thought. I haven't heard that before, but it's a practice that I have as well. From the minute someone cuts me off on a road, or the minute I have an emotive response, I immediately have this thought, which I don't have to feel this way. I don't have to do it. Can you unpack that a little bit? Because I think that's the consciousness that we bring to a triggered emotion is a power I think can save the world. If everyone was able to do that.
Yes.
So can you unpack that a bit, and maybe how that links into the 5 habits as well?
Yes, absolutely. So I learned this along the way. Don't ignore the emotion. We're human. So whatever that immediate emotion is, feel it. It's okay, but let's not stay there. I have total control of my life, and I make a decision in how I feel. However, I got 6 seconds and I diffused. And I understand, by the way, because I've gotten put some pushback, like if there's a death in the family, I mean, there's other situations. I'm not saying this works on every situation, but for something for me in my health journey, when I felt that doctors were telling me negative news and I would fall into like, oh my goodness, my life is over. I'm like, no, Angelina, you have control of this outcome. 6 seconds. What do you choose to believe? I choose to believe that I'm healed. I choose to believe that I'm whole. I choose to believe that I am complete. Let go. Now, then what happens is that we can't dwell on the problem. Then I go on to something else, you know, for a walk or maybe go and hang out with my nieces or something that's going to distract me from that negative thought. So 6 seconds, I affirm something new that I believe and go and do something good that's going to distract me from whatever negative thinking I was having.
I like your nuance there. You mentioned grief and how there's no rush to outthink grief. And I think maybe the nuance is there, I've never really thought about it before, is if it's that fight, flight, or freeze response, or a fear trigger, or where we're going more like a behavior, we're going to behave in a way that we know is not healthy. Maybe it applies there a little bit more. But when we're genuinely sad, or we're genuinely elated, or feeling joy, to allow those emotions to run their course. Angelina, thank you so much. As tends to happen on A Few Minutes with Boo, we've gone a few more minutes with Boo than we should have. The 5 Habits of Success, your website is She Fixes Crowns. You'll scroll down, everyone, into the show notes, and you'll have all the links you need to find Angelina and share her incredible story. Angelina, what I love about what you've brought to us today is you've learned a lot on your journey, and you've experienced it as well. And you're one of those, I guess, rare gems that brings a lived and learned experience together to bring authenticity to the story. And I think that's why, you know, you should really listen to this podcast again, reach out to Angelina, because there's some absolute gems in there. Thank you so much for coming on The Few with me today. You're an incredibly strong human, incredibly strong woman, and you certainly make the world a better place in your presence. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Really quickly on the 5 success habits, it's journaling. So I'll break it down in this journaling. So whenever you feel like you're suppressing any feelings, I find that journaling is a really good place to be. And I also feel gratitude. Many times we're dwelling on the bad versus like, let's dwell on what's going well in your life. 5 great things that happen in your life will change your emotions like this. Then we have affirmations, which we discussed on what I stood on. And then visualization, which I discussed as well, that I use to visualize myself from not having the cut on my face. And then we also have a call inspiration prayer, whatever you're comfortable with. So inspiration could be something like a podcast, like your podcast, need uplifting, or prayer if you believe something higher than yourself. I do. I spend 5 minutes talking to something higher than myself. And then we have meditation. And there's all forms of meditation. I was not a believer in it until I started putting the practice, and 5 minutes of it will make a world of a difference. Those are the 5 success habits. 5 minutes of each. You don't have to do all 5. You just have to figure out which emotion, which I will be putting that up in my website to figure out which tool you should be using based on your emotion that you're having.
That's awesome. And I did have the opportunity to download your journal off your website. So do click the links below and go into Angelina's world. 5 habits of success, get your crown fixed. But most importantly, and I think the key to really living an egoless life is, as you said, tune into something higher. Just realize there's a bigger essence, a bigger thing out there than just us. So, Angelina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps another episode of The Few, and I'd like to thank our partners, without whom this episode wouldn't be possible. Firstly, Ode Management, an organization that brings world-class speakers into your event or organization to make a profound impact on your people to deliver the results that you want. And Afterburner, real-life fighter pilots, a team of men and women who for the past 25 years have helped organizations surpass their expectations, learning the tips and tricks fighter pilots use to win 98% of the time. If you enjoyed the show, please show your support by subscribing to the podcast, The Few with Boo, or our YouTube channel. It's been an absolute pleasure sharing the stories of these remarkable people with you. I hope that helps you keep the dream alive, but more importantly, equips you with a few ideas of how to turn those dreams into reality to help you become one of the few too.